Morning, sir.
I have one item on my agenda. As Mr. Vincent mentioned, it's in reference to Oak Crest Farms. It's actually phase three of the Oak Crest Farms development, known as project number 540 in our filing system. The project is, located at the intersection of Hopkins and Beaver Dam Road. And unfortunately, this is one of those situations where we've have encountered in the last several years where the letter of credit is due to expire and the work is not yet complete. The developer is Mr. Doug Comfer. His company is Oak Crest Farms Incorporated. I spoke to Mr. Comfer yesterday. Michelle Warren of our staff, as you know, she tracks the letters of credits, and she had been in contact with Mr. Comfer over a period of time. I personally spoke to him yesterday, and he does not have the wherewithal per his telephone conversation to complete the work. The letter of credit, the value is $410,253. It expires on June 14, 2011, so that's the reason I'm here today. That would give me, per council approval, I would go forward and submit the paperwork to the bank. In this case, the bank is PNC Bank. The letter of credit actually originates from June of 2005, and at that point, the original letter of credit was with Mercantile Peninsula Bank. In September of 2007, Mercantile merged with PNC, and a new letter of credit was assigned. It was amended on at least three occasions to extend its time limit. However, on April 14 of this year, we received notice from PNC Bank that the letter of credit would no longer be extended. The remaining work is stormwater improvements that need to be implemented to correct an ongoing drainage problems. And I believe Mrs. Deaver even has had complaints throughout the years about the drainage problems in the development. Mm-hmm. The Conservation District approved a plan revision last year to address these drainage problems. The cost is estimated at $300,000 to implement them. The developer has not proceeded with the work at this time. The remaining road work is actually not as severe a situation. Okay. There's 8 to 10 lots that are holding water in their roadside swales. They need to be regraded and then seeded. There is one pavement failure that must be addressed, and the total for that work is estimated at $59,000. So that's a total of about $360,000 just in the actual construction. And you can compare that to the letter of credit that valued at $410,000. We've met with Mr. Rutt and discussed the project on a general basis, but more specifically, we've met to have a comprehensive discussion of status of the project. And unfortunately, my recommendation would be at this time to call in the letter of credit.
Mm-hmm. Well, what else can we do?
Excuse me?
I say, what else can we do?
It seems like I wish the right was another solution, but we have not been able to find one.
Okay.
You have a motion?
Yeah. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council finds that Oak Crest Farms Incorporated has failed to perform satisfactory construction of the project known as Oak Crest Farms Phase 3 and authorize its county engineer and finance director to take action to draw funds from the letter of credit number 987002260-00-00 held by PNC Bank in order to complete construction or procure others to complete construction in accordance with the plan specified by the county engineer in the Sussex Conservation District.
I'll make the motion.
I have a motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? I will take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Steve Hudson, Emergency Operations Center.
Hudson guy.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
I
I bring before you this morning a report and a project request regarding the heating and air conditioning system at our emergency operations center where improvements are needed. I'll start with a little background on the system operation, which is included in the handouts from Friday. The existing HVAC system utilizes a heat pump system and a geothermal well system to dissipate heat from the center. The emergency operations center, due to all the electronics in the equipment rooms, communications equipment, runs in a cooling mode 24 days, 24/7, 365. It never goes into heat mode. The problem, which started showing up before end of last year, is the temperature of our geothermal loop has increased from what originally started in the 60 to 70 degree temperature range, has increased now to the 80 to 85 to 90 degree range. And actually some of the days previously, last week, over Memorial Day weekend, we were seeing temperature of 95, spikes of 96. What this means is that at a temperature of approximately 100 to 105 degrees, the heat pumps in this building will start to turn off. So, as I said, we've been working on this since starting in December, and I can't stand here and claim to be a geothermal expert. We've done tons of research, and we did call in a professional, Carew Associates, with Howard Alderson as our geothermal rep, who did a complete evaluation, and their plan of action and suggestion would be to install either one more geothermal wells or two, a supplemental system consisting of a dry closed-loop cooling tower. This would operate in series with the existing well system, cooling the temperature down. Hopefully, we will see a minimum of 10-degree differential between output and incoming water, where now we're only seeing 5 degrees. So basically, summing this all up is, with the hot summer months approaching, we have taken all the measures we can. We've raised temperatures inside the building. We need to do something to supplement this system in order to keep the electronics from overheating. I have been in touch with Mr. Baker nearly every day. We have, on an emergency basis, brought in a rental unit that will be on site tomorrow. It is a 75 to 80 ton unit that we will connect in series, but this is kind of a band-aid to fix the problem. So I guess what I'm requesting today is to be able to move forward with this project, to purchase our new cooling tower, hire a mechanical contractor to do installation, so on and so forth, before the problem gets worse.
Okay. How old is this building?
Approximately 4 years old.
4 years old?
Wow.
And we've made that kind of mistake in 4 years? Something's wrong. You're in it. Yeah, we're going. We'd be like 4 more years. Made another mistake.
Probably. No, I would not have guessed that we'd have been here in 4 years. But again, you know, I'm not a geothermal expert, nor any of us in the engineering department.
I guess global warming took over.
We did, Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. Baker.
We've had a number of meetings and discussions about this, and we will follow up with the architect. And the engineer designed this system, and move in that direction to try to recover the cost if possible. There have been some other additions in terms of equipment and whatnot that have been added to that building over time, over the last few years, that may have contributed to the problem, but it's certainly something we've got to follow up with. Our concern right now was to get the problem fixed with the summer coming, and we do not want to see any problems at our emergency operations center in terms of temperatures within that building. There are, we just felt like we have to fix it, right, sure, as soon as we can.
I imagine that unit is expensive to rent, that cooling unit.
Yes, and Mr. Hudson, I think, is asking for is the ability to use emergency purchasing power so that we can move ahead and purchase this cooling tower that's needed to fix the problem on a permanent basis, per the mechanical engineers that have been hired to look at it and analyze it. And in the meantime, we are renting a unit. And the sooner we can get the permanent unit in there, and there's a long delivery time, but the sooner we can get that permanent in there, the less we'll spend on rent. Mm-hmm. But we estimate that it could be almost $14,000 just to rent that unit. Mm-hmm.
$15,000 per?
$14,000 to rent that through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But our hope is that we can purchase a permanent cooling tower that will work and have that installed as soon as possible. The sooner that's done, the less mm-hmm. cost will incur with the rental.
How much is this new tower going to cost?
I've put together, which includes the evaluation that we had done, the engineering design, and rental of the cooling unit, it looks like we're coming just shy of $184,000. That's
all right.
That's
we're
with
renting
installation.
For $14,000. That means we can rent it for about 12, 13 years. We figure out how to do it right. I think we're cheaper to rent it.
I mean, the interest on that money alone would probably cover the rental.
You're not a kidding. It's cheaper to rent it, my friend. $14,000 is cheaper than even go any other direction.
How long is the $14,000 cover?
That only covers us for three months.
And okay.
Well, we don't need 3 months. What's our time during the heat?
What's happening is the longer that we keep the system in operation without adding a supplement to it, we're saturating the well field with more heat. So by adding the rental unit, we are taking some of that load away. The scary part of the rental unit is this is a temporary hookup. We have a lot of plumbing to do. We're going to make a temporary cut in. We're going to use flexible pipe out. We're going to have to monitor this thing very closely. And I'll go back in time a little bit. Back in December, we had failure of 3 compressors out of our 6 for the equipment areas. We had to shut the HVAC system down in order to make some solder joints. The system was down about an hour and a half before we started to reach over temp conditions. And, that doesn't give us a whole lot of reaction time should a piece of this temporary equipment, come apart or what have you.
Are you saying we're heating the groundwater is a problem?
That is the explanation I'm getting from the geothermal expert, that we are, because we've never go to heat mode, we're always in cool mode, so we're saturating the bore field with heat.
Hmm. We're talking about millions and millions of gallons of water here.
Well, this is a closed-loop system. It's not an open loop. What this does, we have the pipes that go down through 12 wells. It's actually 24 wells. It's 2 bore holes per well. And it basically using the earth as a radiator to cool the water coming back. And we've dumped constantly for 4 years. We've dumped heat into this bore field to the point where we've heated it up now. And it's not...
I don't believe that water stays in one spot, not from what I know about underground water. I don't really believe it does. I believe it's just like almost pouring a bucket of water out here in a pond. It's just too much water down there to say that we're heating that water. I don't know who's giving you that line, but I don't buy it.
I really wish I had the background to answer that. I agree with you. When the concept was first given to me, it's a bitter pill to swallow or to understand. But, you know, I just look at the results, the temperature's going out, the temperature's coming back.
Why don't we put another well over from there?
Well, we could double the size of our existing wells, but then we're talking a price tag of even before adding the additional inside equipment, because we have no room left inside the mechanical room. I get a quote of $200,000 to just install the wells. Mm-hmm. So we would be up, I'm going to guess, $400,000 by the time we add it onto the building.
$200,000 put in wells?
These are 24 wells, 600 feet deep.
Well, I don't think they need to go that deep to start with. Unless you're trying to get heat or something, but I don't believe it. I just don't. I've got wells. I've got tons of wells, and I don't have that problem. And pump 1 million gallons a week out of them. It's just too much water under in Sussex County to believe that this is a problem. I just have trouble believing all this that somebody's told me.
I understand.
Do we want to do some, like what we've done, value engineering, if there is, like, if Sam's on to something? I don't know. I mean, is there another outfit we might want to get a second opinion? It's like going to the doctor or something, you know?
Yeah, call another well driller.
I'm just wondering, I mean, to look at the system and see if they analyze and come up with the same concern or same remedy or whatever. I mean, how much?
You can do that.
I mean, we've asked one guy to come in and look at it, Mike, because that would basically happen, and he's determined it to be this problem.
Well, I have a copy of his report. He used a Carrier geothermal analysis software.
Right.
I actually have a copy of his report and of all of his calculations.
I wouldn't know what I was looking at. I'm just wondering, is it? I mean, after we're talking about a lot of money and we got all this issues, how much would it cost? How much did that guy cost to analyze it?
The valuation was somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000.
Was it?
$9,900. So you could value engineer $2,500.
Well, that might be a good choice to do, since we've spent so much at this point before we bite. That next big
we job. Can incorporate that into this process.
Is that, I don't know, has anybody?
But you still need the rentals now, don't you?
Yeah, we need the rental.
Right, Steve. Right.
Mm-hmm. Really what Steve's asking for is if to bid out the permanent solution to go through the emergency procedures. So we wouldn't do our normal public announcements. We would contact contractors individually. That's what he's asking.
But I just wanted. I'm just concerned.
Is that maybe not the solution?
Mm-hmm. We could be gone down another 4 years and look up or something like. But anyway, it might not hurt to have somebody to look at it again if we can do it for a very reasonable price.
This whole problem seems to tilt on the concept that even in the winter, you are having to cool the EOC. And not heated because of the heat that's generated by the equipment that's in the building. Mm-hmm. And whether the original designer should have known that or not is, if we pursue litigation, that's going to be the crux of the matter.
Well, more evidence we have than of, right. So maybe, again, value engineering it.
I have also done some research, and I found a college in Upper PA that this same sort of incident happened, that primarily cooled all the time, and they saturated their well. They actually took up their parking lot and installed more wells. But again, that's another option, but it's very expensive.
So it's either more wells or this?
More wells, or it's a cooling tower or a chilling unit or some combination of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like I said, it's over my head, but I think if I had two reports, it might give me a little better feel of what kind of legislative action we should take, but that's just my feeling.
Steve, what do we do today to move this forward?
What I'd like to request today is permission to move forward with this project and declare it an emergency. We've spoken with Mr. Rott so that we can go out and solicit three quotes for this work versus putting it out for official advertisement. I think if we can do that, we can try to keep our rental time down to 3 months, which is covered in that $13,000 price tag.
And in this procedure you're going to go through to do this, you will, hearing the comments from council, you will do some value engineering with someone to verify all this stuff by the third party someplace else or something?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's all be part of that, okay.
I guess I have a little bit of a problem declaring it an emergency when we have a solution in place, the rentals, the potential for, you know, a high cost without a public bid seems real.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the timeline on putting this out for public bid?
It would probably, my guess is it would probably take a couple months to go through that, right? The process with the specs and the bidding. Of course, we will have a set of specs, which we need anyway, to price it. So it might add another month or two to the process. And I guess one option might be if we could find another mechanical engineer just to look at this value, you know, review it quickly, maybe another week or so, maybe we could come back to the council if you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, we will have the rental unit
right.
in place. Or at least get the opinion of those that can do the job. Ask them, what do they think? Instead of paying us $10,000, somebody come in, give us their opinion, you're really not doing the job anyhow.
I have had several contractors in before we got to this point, which I'd rather not name, but I have had mechanical contractors, HVAC contractors come in. As we were trying to trace this problem down, why are our temperatures increasing? And I kept getting the same feedback. And like you, Mr. Wilson, I didn't want to swallow it either, that we had saturated the ground. It just took a while for me to absorb, I guess. But we can definitely get a second opinion on this geothermal evaluation. But the scary part for me would be, you know, especially with this rental unit, not having the ability to monitor this thing remotely, knowing, you know, I come from the wastewater field, excuse me, and this particular unit depends on a pump, a fan, and a spray unit, which can fail. You know, this is a rental unit. I'm not sure how many hours are on it. And given, like, Thursday and Friday's forecast, if we were to lose the HVAC system of the center, I doubt I could get there in time in order to do something if I had the ability to keep the temperatures down cool enough to not lose some of that equipment. And talking with Mr. Thomas, there are several million dollars worth of electronics in that building. So it's just been my goal to try to protect that equipment and to keep it online.
But those backups are in place now. Is the backups in the rental? The rental
will not be there until tomorrow.
I almost think we need to have two separate considerations here. One is for the rental, and I don't think anyone on this council will deny you the ability to go get your rental so that we can protect that equipment. The second is how we move forward, whether we give you emergency authority to just go find the best deal or do this in a public bid. So could I just make a motion that we give him the authority to rent whatever generators are necessary to protect that equipment?
We have a motion.
I'll second that.
And a second to allow them to rent the standby cooling unit to meet this obligation. Any questions on the motion?
The only thing I have is we don't have a backup for that, do we?
No, ma'am.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, okay.
We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Second thing is how we proceed with your request. How long do you think it will take you to get value engineering done by one or two more people or whatever?
What I would suggest, whether you go through the emergency bid or the formal public bid, we should initiate either one of those processes that the council chooses to do. And we could be doing the evaluation by the value engineer at the same time. Therefore, the only thing that, you know, have cost us is putting these plans and specs together. If they concur that it's the right solution, then the council could award a bid, whether it was on the emergency basis or the public bid format. If they come back and say, wait a minute, there's another option that we would be looking at, that you should look at, then we could evaluate that, and you wouldn't have to go through the bid award. And I think you could do that in a parallel nature and limit your costs, but at least you would be moving forward with the permanent solution.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem.
Well, either we have to declare an emergency or we don't have, or we're not going to.
That's just how you bid the project.
Right. It would take how long to bid something versus
2 months?
The emergency?
Another month or two.
Mm-hmm. I think the emergency process will probably save you a month.
Save you a month.
Yeah.
And how critical is that? You don't know, but what's your crystal ball?
Steve was uncomfortable because of the way when we had our meeting and talked all this out, he was uncomfortable about the kind of the Band-Aid way that he was connecting the rental unit to the 911 facility. Mr. Thomas, I think echoed those sentiments. So, you know, and the one thing Steve neglected to state is that the permanent, if you purchase the permanent cooling tower, that cost is only in the $30,000 to $35,000. It's the permanent mechanical right. connection to the center that a lot of the costs are associated with. I think his feeling was, and Joe's feeling was, that month was important to him, to save that month to get the permanent connection in place.
I imagine it's
speaking for them, so.
Is it expensive to run that unit, that rental unit, drawing on our?
It'll have approximately 20 horsepower of mm-hmm. motor between fan and mm-hmm. pump.
Not so much.
Not mm-hmm. terrible.
Okay.
Not terrible.
But at least this is a green system.
Yeah, I don't have any problem.
Does it affect the solar panels?
No.
No, okay.
I'll make a motion we could declare this is a priority emergency.
Thank you. A motion second to declare this a emergency project. Any question on the motion?
One question.
Mr. Wilson. Yes, sir.
When you run an emergency, and if I was a bidder, more than likely when you bid on a rush job, the bid is always higher. Always.
We got to approve any bid.
Pardon?
We'll have to approve any bid, right? Any numbers.
But still, it still won't be like a bid put out without the emergency to it. The bid will not.
But
will
be bidded. There won't be any bid if it's an emergency, right?
No, we'll get. We can still feel like we can go out and solicit right.
okay.
bids, just
sure.
avoiding the public.
At least three vendors.
Yes. Yeah. I've already talked to several.
Okay.
Listen, you guys talk. I don't know if 30 days is really that critical that we have to rush it into it. Can we go 30 more days? Is it that critical?
We don't know. Well, I just made a motion.
Could be.
Well, we're just still talking. This is a discussion.
I assume Steve thinks 30 days. Mr. Thomas, would you step forward, please? You think 30 days, Steve, is critical? Additional 30 days, Steve?
Every day, I think, is critical. You know, this system is HVAC. It's weather dependent. None of us can forecast the weather. If we have a week in July and August, I do know that our temperatures are going to escalate. We're going to do the best we can in monitoring this temporary hookup, but can I guarantee that a fan won't fail? Or a pump with no alarming system, by the time the dispatchers realize that it's getting warm in here, it's going to be too late. That's my fear, that the complete design will include an alarm feature, will let us know that, excuse me, fan number one has failed, and that gives us time to react, respond, and, you know, make corrections to the system. This temporary doesn't afford us that luxury.
And
that's my biggest
headlines right now saying nasty heat wave on its way.
Thomas.
Good morning. My issue comes more from the operational standpoint than the technical standpoint. If for some reason we lose part of that HVAC system and we lose part of the electronics equipment in that building, that also limits us from being able to fold down and relocate to our backup center, because that equipment inside that building has to stay up and running to some extent. So from an operational standpoint, if we were to lose the HVAC system, we'd either have to take our dispatchers to Seaford or to Dover, to Kent County's 911 center, to start working again. So I'm looking at it more from the operational standpoint, whereas with something temporary, the Band-Aid, as Steve says, you know, that, in my opinion, leaves more room for error, mm-hmm. so to speak. More things can happen. Mm-hmm. So the sooner we can get this done, the more at ease I would be. And Memorial Day weekend is typically not the hazy, hot, and humid weekend that we experienced. So we haven't even hit our summer stride yet, and that also concerns me.
Any more questions from council? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
I'm going to vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Question. We are talking millions of dollars of equipment in jeopardy.
We have almost $2 million worth of radio equipment from the state and almost $2 million worth of 911 phone equipment. So that's just those two systems alone.
I wanted that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, we'll revert back now to public hearing. It's now past 11 a.m., so we will go with the public hearing, the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District Marsh Island Annexation. Mr. Rutt.
Thank you. This is the time for the public hearing on the Marsh Island Annexation into the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. What council will be performing is a legislative function, and we will be hearing from the staff regarding this matter. There will also be an opportunity for those in support and those in opposition to speak. I would request that when you speak, you come forward, identify yourself for the record, and that you state your name and address. I would also ask that when you come forward to speak, that if someone else has talked on the similar topic, that you limit your comments to new information. At this time, I would also ask that anyone who has cell phones or any electronic devices turn them off so that they do not interrupt the public hearing. At this time, I will call on a representative from the engineering department to address the matter now before the council.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Rob Davis, utility planner with the Sussex County Engineering Department. The public hearing this morning will consider a request to annex several parcels of land to the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. The area for annexation is shown cross-hatched on the map in your package and on the map at the front of the room. Some landmarks, we have Route 24, running north and south, Camp Arrowhead Road. The proposed area is shown in yellow and crossed hatching on both sides of Camp Arrowhead Road. We have Peddler's Village up in this area along Route 24 and the Boat Hole Marina at Route 24 in Love Creek, just for points of reference. The area includes the proposed developments of Marsh Island and Marsh Properties. Written requests for annexation were received from the owners of the Marsh Island and Marsh Properties projects. The area requesting annexation, two parcels and part of a third parcel, adjoins the existing sewer district. 12 additional parcels have been included in the proposed annexation area. They will be served by the development projects during future construction of their projects by the developers. In order to receive sewer service for the developers' projects, the developers will construct regional infrastructure that includes gravity sewer, a pump station, and force main to an approved connection point near the intersection of Angola Road and Camp Arrowhead Road. Let's see, that is shown approximately right here. That connection point is currently in the ground. Let's see. I came to County Council on April 12, 2011 and received permission to prepare and post public hearing notices. Notices were posted on May 19, 2011. They were posted in 5 locations within the existing district, 6 locations within the annexation area. The public notice was advertised in the Cape Gazette newspaper on May 27, 2011, and it's been posted on Sussex County's website since May 19, 2011. To date, we've received no written comments, nor have there been any questions or comments by phone or in person on the proposed annexation. I think that would be it for any questions.
Any questions, Council?
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in support of the annexation? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing portion of this, Mr. Vincent.
Okay, we'll close the public hearing. Now we need to have a motion.
I have a resolution.
Okay.
It's a resolution to extend the boundary of the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District to include 15 parcels of land east of the town of Millsboro, being situated in Indian River 100, Sussex County, Delaware.
So moved.
Have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And we are about 3 minutes early, so we will go to grant requests. Mrs. Webb,